Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bamitzia daf Ayin Zayin. We left off, I believe, on Ayin Vavan Beis about 5 lines from the end of the page at Ikeda Amri Simua Kaimei. We'll pick up from there, 5 lines from the bottom of the page. Today's year is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, Ali Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, La Shalom, Nisham Shav Neliya, and also by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and for our captives. They should all return home safely. What we're going to discuss today is the following. We had a long brisa that we quoted at the end of yesterday's daf, and the Gemara is going to go through a number of the details of how to read each line in that brisa. There's a sheet of Rabbi Dosa, there's the sheet of the Chachamim about when someone is chozer, when someone backs out of an agreement, is it Yad Poel ala Tachtona, Yad Balabayis ala Tachtona? So we're going to discuss many details of that brisa. The Gemara is going to have 4 cases where Rava discussed a hired worker, and he shows up and there's no work to be done. He was hired to water the field and it rained all night last night, or there's no water to be had in the town. So do you pay that worker kapal batel? Do you not pay him at all? So we're going to discuss that as well. The Gemara is going to try to reconcile how Rav, on the one hand, paskins like Rabbi Dosa that Yad Poel ala Tachtona, and he still says that Poel yochalachzer bo. So the Gemara is going to work on a few different ways to reconcile how we can paskin like Rabbi Dosa and still seem to not say Yad Poel al HaTachtona. The Gemara is going to have a whole different interpretation of that Rabbi Dosa was not talking about a regular poel, he was talking about a mechira, he was talking about an actual sale. That's going to be on Amud Beis, so that's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion of what happens when one party backs out on a sale of karka. What if it's already partially paid for? The Gemara is going to discuss if you already paid for part of the sale and then someone backs out. So do you demand back your money, or do you demand back the amount of karka that your money would have bought? What are you entitled to exactly? So that's going to be on the bottom of Amud Beis. So let's begin at Ikeda Amri on Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis, 5 lines from the bottom of the page. So Ikeda Amri Simua Kameh. Some say that they did finish and explain the entire brisa in front of Rav that the guy gets paid like a poel batel. Vahachikam, I mean, when he shows up and there's no work to be had, he gets paid like a poel batel. Vahachikamar, and Rav said to his Talmud, Chavivi Amar, that my uncle Rabbi Chia said, Yavai Ana, if I would have been the one who hired the workers, lo v'yivna leklal, I would not have given him anything, because it's his mazel that there was nothing there to do. So, meaning he should have thought that maybe he'll show up and the field will already be moist, and therefore, because of its moisture, it's not in a good condition for it to be plowed, or it doesn't need to be plowed. V'at amrit, and you're saying, kapol batel, well, how can it be? My uncle Rabbi Chia would say for sure that he would not pay them. How come you're saying to pay them kapol batel? So that's what Rav had said. Elakasha hach. The problem is, what's the kasha on Rabbi Chia is that he's going to say he's not going to pay them at all. The brisa says that you pay them kapol batel. How could he go against the brisa? So lo kasha. It's not a stira. Had the sayre la'ari midu'orta, had the sayre la'ari midu'orta. That Rabbi Chia said that he wouldn't have paid them anything is in the case where the poelim went to check out the field the night before. So that's why they don't get paid anything. They saw the field the night before. They saw that it was moist. They saw that it had rained that night. They saw that the river had overflowed, whatever it was that made it moist. So they should have known that it was not a day to plow a field. They should have known there was not going to be any work. So therefore, they don't get paid. Whereas the brisa that says that you pay them like a poel batel is talking about a case, they didn't go to see the field the evening before, and therefore it was the balabayas' responsibility to let them know that they shouldn't show up to work that day. And since he did not let them know, and they did show up, so therefore he's going to have to pay them like a poel batel. So this teretz works according to Rabbah, who's mechalik between the poelim going to the field the night before and not going to the field the night before. Ki adam Rava. Rava made this same chilik. Hayman da agar agire, a guy who hires workers l'rifka in order to plow the field, to dig up the field. Vasa mitra umal yamaya, and the rain came and filled filled the field with water, so it makes it impossible to plow the field. So Yisayri la'ari meorta, if these workers came and checked out the field the evening before, pseid de pa'olim, that's a loss on the pa'olim, and you don't pay them at all, because the Baal Bayis could say, it's your mazel, you saw that there's nothing to do here. But lo sayri la'ari meorta, but if the pa'olim did not go to the field the night before, pseid de Baal Bayis, then it's the loss of the Baal Bayis, because he should have let them know, v'yavlu kapal batel, and therefore he has to pay them like a pa'ol batel. Now, another, once we're talking about what Rava says, when you show up and there's no work to be done, we'll tell you three other things that Rava said about showing up and there's no work to be done. So again, the first statement Rava made is that if the field was too moist to be dug up, it all, whether the pa'olim get paid like a pa'ol batel or they don't get paid at all is going to depend on whether they should have known, whether they checked out the field the night before, or whether the Baal Abayah should have told them. V'yama Rava, second statement of Rava, Hayman da okra guri ledavla, if a person hires workers to water his field, va'asa mitra, and it rained, and the rain watered the field, and therefore you don't need workers to do this anymore. God did it for you. So pseid de pa'olim, that is a loss to the Poelim, they do not get paid at all. Us in the Hara, but if a river came and overflowed and that's why the field is all moist, subsay the Baal Bayis, then it's the loss of the Baal Bayis, because the Poelim didn't know what happened to that field. They're not around, they're not seeing that field. Viavlu Kapal Batal, and therefore when they show up, they should get like a Paul Batal. Tosos quotes that some of the Girsa Va'asra Mitra Balaila, that the rain came in the nighttime. So Tosos has two interpretations of what that means, that it was Asra Mitra Belayla, what that adds over here. So first is that you have to say that the Poelim checked out the field in the evening, and therefore it's their loss, like we said before, that Rava said when you hire Poelim to plow your field and it rains, so if they checked out the field in the evening, it's their loss. Over here also, it was also Mitra Belayla, they checked out the field and it was their loss, and that must be, we're talking about a case where they checked out the field. Alternatively, Tulsa says, no. We're saying over here, what Rava's adding over here is, even if they didn't go to the field the night before to see the condition of the field, it's still their loss. When it came to plowing the field, when they were hired to plow the field, it's only their loss if they came to check out the field the night before. Yeah, that's because when it comes to plowing the field, it's very hard to know if the rain had such an impact on the condition of the field that it can't be plowed. But if the rain had an impact on the need to water the field, that's something that's pretty obvious. They live in the town, they know it was raining in town last night, they know that the field doesn't need to be watered, whether they showed up or whether they didn't show up. And therefore, it's their loss if it rained the night before. That's how Tosos understands this second din of Rava. Third din of Rava, the Amar Rava, Hayman da'ogra aguri ledavla. Someone hires workers to water his field, and they used to use the river to supply the water. Upasuk nara bepalga diyoma, and the river dries up halfway through the day. So there's no place to get water. That happens when there are too many people watering their fields from the river. So the river will dry up prematurely. So if that's a very unusual event, that in the middle of the day the river is going to run out of water, then say to the Poelim, it's a loss of the Poelim, and you only have to pay them for the work that they already did. But avid the pasik, if it's something that's fairly common, that the water will dry up in the middle of the day, then it depends if they are members of that city or not. Ibn Masa, if they live in that city, and Mela, they understood the risk that they were taking, say to the Poelim, meaning because they knew that they were hired to water this field from a source of water that's not always there, and therefore they understood exactly what they were getting into, so they'll get paid for what they did, but they're not going to get paid for what they didn't do. So, but lav bnei masa, if they're not from that city, say to the Baal Bayis, then the Baal Bayis is going to have to pay them for the rest of the day like a paul batel, because they thought they were getting a full honest day's work over here, and they didn't realize that there was a reasonable possibility that the water is not going to be available to them. So the basic rule seems to emerge is that when the Baal Bayis and the Poelim are both equal, meaning either they both should have known or they both had no way of knowing, and certainly in a case where the Baal Bayis had no way of knowing and the Poelim should have known, the Poel loses out. So when all is even, the Poel loses out. It's only where the Poelim had no way to know and the Baal Bayis should have known and should have told them, that's what the Rishpa points out, that's what emerges over here. only then do we say that the balabais loses out and not the poel. He doesn't have to pay them like a poel batel. So that's what emerges from these dinim of Rava. Now fourth din of Rava, v'yamar Rava, hayman da agra gurila avidita. Someone hires a poel to work for him that entire day for a particular job. He's hiring him to do something, to do a particular job for him. V'shalom avidita v'palgad yoma. He finishes the job halfway through the day. So yisle avidita denichamina. If the boss has another job to do that's easier than the first one, so Yavlu, he can ask the guy that he hired, or demand that the guy that he hired do that job. Inami dekavasa, or if he has another job that's similar to the first job, so Mafkalu, he could appoint them to do that job. The Gra takes out the words Yahivluhu, because it could read much better, right? That I isle avidta denichamina. Inami de kavasa mafkadlehu, right? That if he has a job that's easier or the same, so then mafkadlehu, then he could appoint him to do that job. The Rashash wonders why if you're going to have this girsa, why would it change the lashon, right? Yoivlu to mafkidluhu. So he says that it must be the girsa is di yoivluhu. So it's e isle avidita that he has di nichamina di yoivluhu. He has what to give him that's easier. So it's not yoivluhu is not saying what you should do. It's still describing the case. So either you take out these words or you adjust them in some way, because it doesn't make sense in context. But the point is that you hired a worker to do a job for half of the day, for the whole day rather. He finished halfway through the day. So if you have something similar or easier for him to do, so you ask him to do that. But the kashamina, but if he only has work that's more difficult, lo mafkablu, then you're not allowed to appoint him to do that work. And you're still going to have to pay them the full wages. The Ramban and the Ritva point out that that's only if you hired them for a particular job. But if you hire them stam, you can always give them more work, even more difficult work, because you never guaranteed them that they were getting work to do of a certain level. So then you pay them then you have them do for you whatever it is that needs to get done. So ask the Gemara, Amai, why do you give them the full wages? At the end of the day, they didn't work for the whole day. You didn't need them to work for the whole day. So shouldn't you pay them in full for the full amount of a half a day? And then the other half a day that they didn't work, at least just pay them like a poel batel. So after all, isn't that what Rava said, that you pay like a poel batel? Isn't that what we said previously, that you pay like a poel batel? Says Gemar, ki kama Rava, when did Rava say that you pay them the full wages? Ba'achlushe de mechuza. When we're talking about people who are schleppers in mechuza, in the city of Rava, there are a lot of people that used to work in this industry of schlepping things from one place to another. Di lo avdi chalshi. When they are yoshev batel, and they're not able to do the work, they become weakened. It's harmful to them, and therefore the kolzman that they're working and they're lifting packages, their body is more accustomed to that, and when they rest a little bit, they become weakened. The Rush writes, and there's Paskin Shulchan Aruch, that these same halachos apply to someone who hires a malamid for his child, and then the Talmud gets sick, right? Meaning the case is you hire someone to do a job, and the job is not there to be done anymore. So you hire someone to be a malamid for his child, so it wasn't that you hired a Rebbe for a classroom of 25, 30 kids, you hired a one-on-one, a malamid for the Rebbe, and the kid gets sick. So that's a hefsid of the malamid. He gets paid as a tutor. He gets paid by the... So is it always the hefsid of the malamid? So he says, if it's not rugil for the child to get sick, or he's rugil and the malamid is from that city and he knows that that kid always gets sick, then it's the hefsid of the malamid. But if it's rugil that the Talmud gets sick and the malamid doesn't know that, so then it's a hefsid of the balabayas and he has to pay the malamid mishalem, because lomdei Torah are similar to achlushe demachuza. That it's similar to what Rava says in this last case, that calls man that their yoshi batal, it causes them shikha and kovid evarim, right? That there's nothing that gives a person who's in the industry of teaching Torah it's nothing that gives him chiyus, like actually being able to teach. When he's sitting there and he's doing nothing, it causes him a tremendous sense of chalishos, and he loses a little bit of his sharpness and his ability to teach. So that would line up with the achlushe de mechuza that Rava's talking about over here. Okay, so now we're going to go back to the brisa that we had in yesterday's daf. So we had this long brisa about hiring workers that were chozer after they began the malacha. We had a machlokas, Rabbanan and Rabbi Midosa. So the Gemara is going to explain each line of the Braisa. So Amar Mar, we had said in the Braisa, Shamlahem es Masha Asu Ketzad, Hayafa Shishadinarim, Nosin Lahem Sela. So the Gemara explains, why is it that the Chum say that we do not deduct from their wages what you're going to need to pay other workers to finish the job that these guys didn't finish? I mean, you hired them for $8 for the whole job. They did half a job for $4. And now to get someone else to do the rest of the job is going to cost you $6. So why can't I pay the first guys $2? Because I was supposed to get this whole job done for $8. So Ksav Rabban, Yad Poel, Al Eliona. Because the Rabban are of the opinion that the Yad Poel, Al Eliona, that the Poel always gets the upper hand. And therefore he's able to demand the percentage of the agreed upon wage that he had that corresponds to the work that he had done. Or he could finish his work and get the other two slimes. So says Mar Pshita, obviously he finishes his malacha, he's going to get whatever the agreed upon wage was to begin with. So what's the brisa being mechadesh? So lo tzricha da ayakra vidita. It's telling me din that if after he did, the Pavel started working, the standard wage in that location went up. The Imru Poelim, and then the Poelim backed out on the rest of the job. Va'azl Balabayis Ufaisinu, and the Balabayis came and said, no, please, don't quit on me now, I need you. And he started being mefayis them and convincing them to come back to work. So Ma'u Detema, I might have thought that since the Rabbanon hold Yad Poel El Yona, that Motsu Amrulay, these Poelim could say, yeah, you begged us to come back. Ki mefaisinan adaita tfaslana agra. We assumed that when you were telling us to come back, that you were going to agree to pay us what today's wages are. We realized that we were severely underpaid because the market conditions had changed from the time that we started to work or that we originally accepted the agreement. So Kamash Mulan, that's why the Braisa has to tell me, no, there was an agreement in place. He's telling them, he's mefayis them, not that he's going to increase their salary. I'll be nicer to you. I'll increase your benefits. I'll give you a little more food, a little more drink during the time that you're working. That's what you can room locked on, but you still get paid the same salary. Meaning, if you didn't work out, obviously, with all these things, if you work out the terms and conditions and you make it clear, so you know exactly what they're coming back to do. But this is just saying, he's going to say, I'm going to make it better for you. It's going to be, you're going to be much happier working for me. So their workers are thinking, oh, happier means more money, because that's what happy means when that's your job, right? And he's thinking, obviously, I'm not going to pay them more money. I'm just going to make things more pleasant for them by offering them better lunches when they're on the job. All that is only if they were chazru behem. But when they were chazru, they told him, we're not going to work for you unless you give us more money. And then he's mefayis them. So then the Rishonim point out, the Ramban, the Rishonim point out, if that's what they told him as far as why they quit in the first place, so then obviously him saying that I'll have fresher sandwiches for you for lunch is not going to be the understood pius, that the pius must be about the salary. It's only if they're chozer stam that we assume that it does not necessarily include a raise. So sela nosanam sela. So pshita says, well, obviously you're not going to pay them more than a sela for the work that they did. That was the agreed upon arrangement. So l'tzricha dezala vidtamei. No, it's telling you a case where initially when they came to hire these guys, you hired them for cheap for 3 zuz, meaning you could have hired them for 3 zuz, but they didn't want to take the job unless you add an extra zuz. So they were getting overpaid to begin with. And eventually the market caught up to what they were getting paid. So initially the agreement was they would get 3 zuz. Initially the agreement was they would get 4 zuz when the market would have suggested 3 zuz. And now the market caught up and the market says 4 zuz as well. So Ma'al Detema, I might think that since the Rabbanan hold Yad Poel Ala Eliona, that the Poel can say, Amrile, the Poelim can tell the Balabais, Tfei Zuzah Amrathan, look, our deal was that you overpay us by a zuz, that you look at what the market has to offer and you give us 1 extra zuz. So Tfei Zuzah Havlan, so you should give us an extra zuz over now as well. So kamash milan, that's what the Bryce is telling me, that no, da amar luhu, the Baal HaBayis could say to the poem, why do you think I agreed to pay you an extra zuz? I saw the direction the market was going. Ki amri luhu tfei zuzu, when I said that I'll give you an extra zuz, to law of akim luhu, that's because you didn't want to work for the amount that everybody else was willing to accept. So I agreed to pay you extra. But hashta kim luhu, now that everyone is getting four zuz, the way what you wanted originally, so that's what I agreed to pay you. And that's what Sela, that if the agreement was for a Sela, he gives them a Sela, even if the market has caught up to what they were initially getting paid. So meaning it's basically the Powell's taina is that I define my salary based on being above market. And the Baal HaBayis' taina is, why should you define that? Based on the needs that you had. Your initial needs were that it was going to be four zuz. What do you care what everybody else is getting? So those are still your needs, that it's going to be four zuz. So I'm going to pay you the four zuz. Rabbi Dosa Omer, Shamalem Esmasha Asli Asos, Hayafa Shisha Dinar Nosalem Shekel, that whatever it's going to cost to fill in what these guys aren't doing, I could deduct from the salary that I'm giving to these guys. So the Gemara explains that the reason Rabbi Dosa holds you could deduct from their salary whatever you're going to have to pay for somebody else to come in and fill in the job is Kasavri Yad Poel Ala Tachtona, because Rabbi Dosa holds that the Poel has the lower hand. So that's the primary machlokas between the Chum and Rabbi Dosa over here. The Chum hold Yad Poel Al Elyona, that the Poel gets the upper hand. Rabbi Dosa holds that the Poel does not get the upper hand, he gets the lower hand. So the Rabbi Dosa had said, O Yigmru Melachton V'yitlu Shnei Slaim, that they could finish the job and get paid the original agreed upon salary. Well, pshita, isn't that obvious that if they finish the job, they're going to get originally what they originally agreed upon? What's the chiddush of that line of the braisa? So lo tzricha dizol avidita. The case is that after they began to do the work, the cost of poalim went down. Ve'emer Baal HaBayis, and the Baal HaBayis therefore backed out on the agreement. Va'ozl poalim faisu, when the poalim said, come on, we need to work, you got to give us work, you got to let us work. So Ma'al Detema, I might have thought that the reason that Rabbi Dosa says that Yad Pala Tachtona is because the Baal HaBayis is muchzak in the Tashlum, so Matzi Amaluhu, so the Baal HaBayis could say to them that which I agree to go back and take you back into my field to continue to do the work, it's because I was going to now pay you whatever the market is, and the market is now lower. I thought that's what you were begging me to work, and that's what you were agreeing to do. So kamash malan, that's why the Bryce says to tell me no. The amri lay that the poem say to the Baal HaBayis, adaita davdin lecha avidita shapirta. No, we're agreeing to come back to work at our originally agreed upon salary, which is more than the current market value, because we're going to do the best work. We're going to work so much harder. We're going to work so much better. It's just the flip side of the sheet of the conversation we had within the sheet of the Rabbanan, where it was Yad Baal HaBayis Al Eliyona, so Yad Poel Al Eliyona, now it's Yad Baal HaBayis Al Eliyona, so the Havaminas are all in the other direction. Sela, nosin lem Sela, so Pshita, obviously you're not going to pay them more than what you agreed upon, so I'm Rav Huna Breid Rav Nassel, no Tzricha, that it's telling me, Zulu Inu Gabe Zuza Meikara, that originally the Poelim were so desperate that they agreed to work for below market, Ulusov Zala Vidita, and then the market caught up to them and went down so much that now they're being paid at market value. So Ma'al Detema, I might have thought that since Rabbi Dosa holds that Yad Poel Ala Tachtona, so you could say to them, Batsu Zuzar Misuli, look, the Baal HaBayis could say, you agreed to work for below market, Batsu Zuzi Yivnilchu, and therefore I'm going to pay you below market for the rest of this work. So Kamash Bulan, therefore the Bryce is telling me that no, you have to pay them what you agreed upon, Da'ar Milei, because the Poelim could say to him, Ki Amarnilach Bebatsu Zuzah, when did we agree to you to work for one zuz below market, when we saw that you're not going to accept us as a worker to begin with unless we take that amount of money. But hashta kimlach, now that we've already started to work for you, so we should get the agreed upon amount. Samarav, how do we paskin? Is it Yad Poel Al Eliyona, Yad Baal HaBayis Al Eliyona? Samarav, halacha krabidosa, that it's Yad Poel Al Tachtona. Rav paskin is a krabidosa, that the Poel is the one who's at the disadvantage over here. Umiyom Rav, does Rav really say say that Yad Poel ala tachtona, v'amrav Poel yachalach rav filu b'chatzi hayom, but didn't Rav teach us that a Poel can back out even halfway through the day, and yado ala yona when he does so, when he backs out halfway through the day, because and the reason he's allowed to do that is because the Torah says, ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, avadai heim, and the Gemara darshins, avadai heim v'lo avadim avadim. So you can't hold the guy against his will. If he's a Poel, he's allowed to back out. So how can Rav on the one hand say that Yad Poel ala tachtona, and on the other hand say that he's allowed to back out b'chatzi hayom? So Gemara says, maybe we can answer this. V'chite m'shainele l'Rabbi Dosa bein tzchirus l'kablanus. Maybe Rabbi Dosa distinguishes between a tzchir yom and a kablan. That when the guy is a kablan, is being paid for the job, so Rabbi Dosa says it's yado ala tachtona. But by a Poel is a tzchir yom, of course it's going to be yado ala yona. Why would that be the case? The chiluk is that a Poel is a tzchir yom. The Torah has to give him the ability to back out partway through the day so that he does not become an eved to this Adon. He should only be an eved to the Ribbono Shel Olam, but a kaplan is not an eved to anybody. A kaplan is not at risk of being an eved to anybody. So he just does that job that he was hired for at whatever time is good for him. So he's not considered an eved at all. So therefore, it's not a kasha on Rav, because even though Rav paskins alach krabi dosa, that's by a kaplan we say that yad poel ala tachtona. But he's going to hold that a schir yom is able to be chozer bo, so that he doesn't become an eved. That a schir yom is able to back out, even though a kaplan not. So says Gemara, yeah, but is that true that Rabbi Dosa makes such a distinction between a skir yom and a kablan? Umi shiny lay, does Rabbi Dosa really make such a chilek? Vatanya, we have a brisa, socher es poel l'chatzi hayom shama shemes lames. A guy hires a worker, and halfway through the day, the poel hears that someone in his family, Rachman al-Tzlan, has died. Oh, shachzatu chama, or he got sick. He got sick doesn't necessarily mean the poel got sick. In Shulchan Aruch, we paskin based on Shumas Deshen, it could also mean his wife got sick or his children got sick. Anyone that's an onus that he has a responsibility to be with when they are sick. So something happened and an onus happened. See, im schir hu, if the guy is a schir yom and he's not a kablan, nosin l'scharo. Then you have to give him half of his schar because he worked half of the day. And it's not yado ala tachtona because he's an anus. But im kablan hu nosin the kablanuso. And if he's a kablan, you give him whatever the kablanus was based on what he had done. So it's the same for a schir yom and a kablan. So how can you say that Rabbi Dosa distinguishes between a schir yom and a kablan? So money, who's the tana of that brisa? Are we so sure that it's Rabbi Dosa? So says money, yeah, ilema rabbanan, because if it's assuming like the rabbanan, ma'ir yemes shama shemes lomes. Why does it matter to us that it's dafka and that an onus happened, that someone died or someone got sick? You don't need an onus for the Rabbanan to say that he gets paid for the percentage of the job that he did. The Rabbanan hold that Yad Poel El Elyona, so he'll always get paid for the percentage of the job that he did. So why would the author of this brisa need to say, oh, because there was an onus, something unforeseeable that happened, that's why he's getting paid? El Elav, Rabbi Dosa, it must be because the author of this brisa is Rabbi Dosa, who normally holds Yad Poel El Tachtona, that the Poel is at a disadvantage, but because it was an onus, he's going to get paid in full. And the author is Rabbi Dosa, and the author does not distinguish between a kablan and a skir yom. Rabbi Dosa ben skir is the kablanos. You see, the Rabbi Dosa makes no distinction between the two of them. It's always going to be yad poel ala tachtona. So the kasha goes back. How can Rav paskin that halacha is like Rabbi Dosa, that yad poel ala tachtona, and still say that a poel is yachol achzerbo, once we cannot distinguish between a skir yom and a kablan? That really Rabbi Dosa does make a chilik between a schir yom and a kablan. And he's moda that a schir yom is yado al yona. And the reason the brisa mentions that the poel could be chozer bo only when there's an onus, when something out of the ordinary happens, is because it's talking about that he was hired to do a davra avud. That in such a case, both the Rabban and Rabbi Dosa would say he cannot back out unless there's an onus. Because this is the kind of thing where if he quits, the whole job is going to be ruined. So according to that, accordingly, the brisa is a divrei hakol. The brisa is going both according to the Rabbanan
and according to Rabbi Dosa, but Einochinami, Rabbi Dosa does make a chilik between the Skir Yom and the Kablan, and therefore our answer for Rav works. Our answer for how Rav could on the one hand pass like Rabbi Dosa, and on the other hand paskin that a povel is allowed to quit, it works, because there's a difference between a Kablan who's Yadol HaTachtona, like Rabbi Dosa says, and a Skir Yom who's allowed to quit, so that he not be an Evet to anybody but the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Gemara asks, well, it's Muchach from our Mishnah, that Rabbi Dosa does not make this chiluk between a Skir Yom and a Kablan. Tanan, we said in our Mishnah in yesterday's daf, Kala Mishana Yadol HaTachtona V'chala Chozer Bo Yadol HaTachtona. So Bishlama Kala Mishana Yadol HaTachtona D'Sasim Lantana Ki Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah is coming to tell me that if the guy that you hired to dye your clothing, dyed it a different color, so we're assuming like Rabbi Yehuda that Yadol HaTachtona, that was the Machlokas in Baba Kama. Ela Kala Chozer Bo Yadol HaTachtona L'Suyei Mai. What's it teaching me when it says if you're Chozer Bo Yadol HaTachtona Lav La'Suyei Poel, isn't it telling me about a Schir Yom that if he backs out halfway through the day that it's Yadol HaTachtona Uk Rabbi Dosa, like the sheet of Rabbi Dosa? So you see that Rabbi Dosa holds even a Poel Schir Yom is going to lose if he backs out halfway through the day. It's still Yadol HaTachtona. So Rabbi Dosa does not say that this is only a din for a Kablan. He agrees that a Schir Yom also is Yadol HaTachtona. So again, back to the Kasha. How could Rav Paskin like Rabbi Dosa, and on the other hand, say that a Poel is allowed to back out halfway through the day? So says Gemara, okay, we need a different Yishuv. El Rabbi Dosa Tartika Amar. Rabbi Dosa says Yad Poel HaTachtona is talking about both by Schir Yom and by Kablanos. When Rav says I paskin like Rabbi Dosa, he only paskins halfway like Rabbi Dosa. He paskins like Rabbi Dosa by a Kablan, that's where Yad Poel HaTachtona. But Rav will say, I know that Rabbi Dosa holds that Yad Poel HaTachtona even by a Schir Yom, but I can't stomach that because that makes him an Eved to somebody else, and that we don't paskin like. So answer, it's really the same answer, just shifting it, right? Answer number one was that Rabbi Dosa was mechalik between a Schir Yom and a Kablan, and that's how we justify Rav paskening like Rabbi Dosa, but then we prove that Rabbi Dosa is not mechalik between a Schir Yom and a Kablan, and therefore we say, okay, so he wasn't mechalik, but when Rav paskened, Rav was mechalik between a Schir Yom and a Kablan, and that's how we justify the Shita of Rav. So now the Gemara says, there's another way to explain the din in the Mishnah of Kala Chozer Bo Yadol HaTachtona, and then it's not telling me that a Poel who's maybe it's about something else entirely. It's about a lokeach and a mocher, as we'll soon see in the Brisa. So maybe there's no hechrech that Rabbi Dosa ever distinguished between a Schir Yom and a Kablan. Meaning, what made us believe that Rabbi Dosa didn't distinguish between a Schir Yom and a Kablan? It was our Mishnah. Maybe the Mishnah has nothing to do with Schir Yom and Kablan. Maybe it's about a lokeach and a mocher. Iba Yisema, maybe Rabbi Dosa, it's shaykh to say that he himself made the chiluk between the Schir Yom and the Kablan, and he also said the Schir Yom, the Torah's makel, that he's allowed to be chozer so that he not be an eved to anybody else. Kala chozer bo yodol HaTachtona, what's the Mishnah teach me when it says kala chozer bo yodol HaTachtona l'chedetanya? It's telling me about a case of a sale aligned with the following brisa. Kala chozer bo ketzad, the brisa says, what does it mean that you chozer bo harei shamachar sada l'chaver bel of zuz? You sell a field to somebody for 1,000 zuz. V'nos l'mos man, and you give masayim zuz, and you partially pay. You pay 200 zuz for it, and then you back out of the sale. One party or the other backs out of the sale. The mocher or the lokeach bismancha mocher chozer bo. So if the mocher is the one that backed out of the sale, yad lokeach al yona, then the lokeach gets the upper hand in the sense that rotz amr loteli ma'osai oteli karka kenegin ma'osai. The lokeach can say either give me back my $200 that I already paid you, or give me $200 worth of land from this field. Mehechon magbiu, where does he collect this from? Mina idis, from the very best of the field. Ubezach lokeach chozer bo. If the lokeach is one that backs out of the mekach, then yad mocher al yona, then the mocher gets the upper hand. Rata omer lo hilich ma'osecha, the mocher could say, here, take your money back. Or rata omer hilich karka kenegr ma'osecha mechem agvim in ziburis. Or he could say, I'll give you karka that corresponds to what you paid for already, but I'm going to give you from the ziburis of my field. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer melamdin osan, that we teach all of the people who buy karka and don't have what to pay up front, that they should, the shalo yachzru, that they shouldn't be chozer. Ketzad, how do you teach them that they can't be chozer? Kosev lo, the mocher writes the lokech, ani ploni ben ploni macharti, so the plonis, leplonis be'elev zuz, v'nasal ni mehem masayim zuz. And the other 800 zuz is going to be as if I was already mekabel it, and now it's a loan. So basically, a mortgage, right? Meaning I received the full, except a pretend mortgage. I'm pretending as if I received all of the money, and the rest I'm lending back to you, and you're going to have to, and that's just a regular loan having nothing to do with this karka. I was already paid in full for this karka. The entire karka is yours. There's no being chozer, and you owe me money, and there's no backing out and owing money. Or I already know shemoshmona meilzuz, so that's you owe me $800. And when he writes that, so kana umachzul asashar afil lacher kamashanim, then he acquires the entire field. No one's allowed to be chozer because since he turned the rest of the money that the guy has to pay, not into payment for the karka, but into a loan, so it's a mechira gemura, and he gave him back the extra money, even and he has to pay it even many years later. So Amr Mar, so the Gemara explains the brisa. Mehechan magbiu mina idis. We said that if it's the mocher that had backed out, so the lokech can say, give me $200 worth of land from the idis. So kasal kataitach mi idis tinachasav. The Gemara initially assumes that what the brisa meant is the very best karka that you own. So Gemara says, why would he have to do that? It could have been possible that he'll be mekabel ziburis because there is no takana over here that they make for a balchov who collects from beninus. Vloyel balchov, even the lokeach should be no better than a balchov. Utnan balchov dino bebeninus. A balchov gets from the beninus. So why should he have to pay this guy from the idis? Va'od ha'aradiyav zuzei. The karka that he paid for is right there. So why do I have to go find the idis of my karka to give him 200 zuz worth of the idis of my karka? The karka that he actually paid for is right here. So I'm Nachum Yitzchak, may idis sheba, may zibur sheba. No, that's a misunderstanding of the brisa. The brisa is not saying he's got to go find the idis of his karka. It means of the land that he paid for. So there are parts that are better and parts that are worse. So he has to, if the mocher is one that backed out, so he has to give him 200 zuz worth of the best parts of this land. And if the lokach is one that backed out, he can give him 200 zuz worth of the worst parts of this land. Or Rav Acha Rebbe of Iko Amar, afilu temem idis nechasav. It could even be that he's got to find the idis and nechasav. Why does he get the idis of all of his nechasim? Sasa man stam man dezav and ara ba alfa zuzi uzule mozil umaz binichsei sahavale kinizik utnan anizak and shamalen be idis, that we treat it like a nezek, because in general, when someone buys such expensive land, such a large piece of land, he never has all that cash on hand that he needs to buy the land, and therefore someone he'll sell some of his metaltalib or small pieces of land that he has for cheap in order that he'll be able to have the cash to be able to purchase this karka. So if the mocher, so I know that I'm making this big deal, I'm spending millions of dollars on this land, so I'm going and quickly selling off all my assets for cheap in order to gather the money together, and now I finally put the money together, and the mocher says, I changed my mind. You changed your mind, I just sold half my stuff for a fraction of their actual value. That's a nezek. Oh, and for nezikin, that you pay from the yiddis. That's the din. The nezikin pay from the yiddis. So the brisa said, Rav Shmuel Umli Alomer, Melandinos and Shliachs, Vekeitza Kosovla, Ani Ploni Meploni. He gave the etza of how to turn the rest into a loan. So time with the Kosovla Hachi, the reason that it's considered that the Mechira is a final sale is because he wrote that they detailed in a shtar that the rest is a loan. But hello, Kosovla Hachi, but if he doesn't say that, lo kari, then the mechira is not complete, and they could still be chozer. So ask the Gemara from Rav Shmuel Liel in a different brisa, where he assumes that automatically the rest of the payment turns into a loan without saying it. Vatanya, we have another brisa, hanosin ravel nechavero, a lokeach that gives a mocher a mashkon in order to punish anyone who backs out on the mechira, to penalize someone who backs out on the mechira. Va'amar lo, and the lokeach says, imani chozer bo ervoni machala. If I back out of this mechira, you get to keep my mashkon. The mashkon I gave you, it's yours. V'hala omer, and the mocher says, imani chozer bi, echbalucha ervoncha. I'll give you back your mashkon, plus I'll double it. So niskaimu atanayim, anyone who backs out is going to have to live by those words. Divrei Rabbi Yossi, the Taimei, da amar asmachta, Tanya. And this is Rabbi Yossi Lishita, so that even though the guy doesn't think he's going to back out, so I gave you my Rolex as a mashkon, and I said, you'll keep my Rolex if I back out. That's because I don't think I'm going to back out. I don't want you to keep my Rolex. And you tell me, oh, if I back out, I'll give you two Rolexes. I'm not interested in buying a second Rolex. I'm not interested in doing any of that. But it's an asmachta. So asmachta is Kanya. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Dayushikna Kenegar Ravono. You don't have to pay the entire Tanai that they made. He could only be Mekayim the Mekach, Kenegar the mashkon, and he doesn't. And he doesn't. He's not able to be chozer on anything else, but whatever is keneged amashkon. So I'm Rabbi Shimon Gamliel b'medvar memur. When do we say that he's only kona keneged amashkon? That is meaning that he could be chozer on everything else, but whatever is keneged amashkon, that's already paid for. So when do we say that when he's chozer, he's only kona keneged amashkon? That's bisman sha'amelo irvoni yikon. That's when he says that through this mashkon, I should be kona the entire mekach. But that's not shayach because the karka is worth more than the mashkon, so he's only kona whatever the mashkon pays for. But if I bought a field for 1,000 zuz and I paid only 500, kona umachzor lo asashar afilu lachar kama shanim. So then we assume that he owns the whole field and the rest is just the loan without explicitly saying it. So that's the stira of Shimon Gamliel. So lo kasha hadu kail v'nafik azuzay hadu lo kail v'nafik azuzay. To Amar Rava, hay man dezavin midi lechavrei v'kail v'nafik azuzay. If the mocher is looking for money, lo kani, then he's able to be chozer. Lo kail v'nafik azuze kani. But if the mocher is not looking for money, he's not schlepping around looking for money, then he is kona. Meaning the brisa that says that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that you have to write this in the shtar is where the mocher was looking was the one looking for the lokeach, that I'm looking for a buyer. He's the one that's advertising that he's looking for a buyer. The brisa that sounds that even if you don't write it, it's that you still can't be chozer. That's talking about where the mocher was not looking for a buyer, it was the seller's market. The buyer was the one that was looking for the mocher. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with Va'amar Rava toward the bottom of the page. Everyone have a wonderful day. Oh, yeah. Thank you.